mentioned, I think, in the beginning, I always count it a privilege to be here in this place, in such august company in the people of God. This morning, we'll look again at the gospel. If you care to read with me, turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 9. We'll read about one of the judgments that fell upon Egypt when God's people, earthly people, were there as slaves in Egypt. Exodus chapter 9, and this is about the hail that fell. Verse 18. Exodus 9, verse 18. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field, and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Lord among his servants, the servants of Pharaoh, made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field, throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And God will bless the reading of this very solemn portion of his precious word. Thank you, brother. There's a very famous preacher, you may have heard of him, called Dwight L. Moody. I think in the 1800s he was a gospel preacher, and he was having a series of gospel meetings in some small town in England. Same message you're hearing this morning, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in his simplicity. The young man was very troubled. He worked in a mine. He was very troubled. And towards the end of the last week of meetings, he approached Mr. Moody. He said, Mr. Moody, I don't want to go home. I don't want to go home tonight until I'm saved. You've been talking solemnly all week. God's been speaking to my heart. And I know I need to be saved from my sins. And I'm not. If I were to die right now, I know I would not go to heaven. Mr. Moody, please, please help me. He felt very helpless, because only God can save, only God. But thank God we have the Bible and the simple message of salvation. So he sat down with the young man. I don't know what verses he showed him. There's so many beautiful verses in the Word of God that tell us salvation is of the Lord, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And that young man's eyes were opened. And he saw the simplicity of God's great salvation. Christ did it all at Calvary. He bore my sins and his body on the tree. The Father was well pleased with the sacrifice and raised him from the dead. He's now in glory, ascended, resurrected, ascended at the right hand of God. And the Bible simply says, all who call upon the name of the Lord for salvation shall be saved. The young man left joyful, joyful in Christ. It's the happiest day in a person's life. It is truly when they suddenly have eyes opened of God and understand why Jesus Christ was on that cross. It was for me. He loves me. May God bless you this morning. If you're here and you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing more solemn than for a man or a woman to go through life not saved. Because the Bible says the wrath of God abideth on them that believeth not. Not about him, but on him. Who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's John 3:36. It's very solemn. This young man was saved. He went to the mine. Unknown to him, that was the last day of his life. His last shift with his fellow workers. Something tragic happened and he's lying. He's mangled on the ground. He only has a few moments left. He's trying to say something. And one of his workmates knelt down and put his ear to his mouth to hear what he was saying. And this is what the young man said. It's a good thing I got a saddle last night. Those were his last words. See, it's a matter that has to be settled. Very clear. We're all the same. Nobody's any better than anybody else. We're all on the same field. It's the field of sin. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. God made it perfectly clear. Ye must be born again. May God bless you this morning. Because there's not much time left. God has blessed you by bringing you here this morning. I hope you understand that. You're in the right room, right place, at the right time. And God loves you. And he's calling you. How does he call men and women? Through the simple preaching of the gospel. His methods haven't changed. 2,000 years, they haven't changed. It's just the simple message of salvation. May these words enter into your heart. May you listen. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, he that hath ears to hear, you all do, let him hear. In other words, listen. For it's not me. Forget about me. What I speak to you this morning, this afternoon, this morning, yes, is not what I think. You'll never hear me say, I think. Or it's my opinion. Tradition. What I say unto you this morning is, thus saith the Lord. May God bless you. We have, first of all, a promise of judgment. Verse 18. God said, I will cause. Now, when God says in the Bible, I will, he means what he says. You know, every single thing in the Old Testament he said he would do, every single thing he said he would do, he did. Without exception. And when he makes a promise, he keeps his promise. One thing it tells us about God's character in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2 is this. He's incapable of falsehood. Incapable of falsehood. In other words, we can believe every single word in the Bible. Every word. And when he makes a promise, we can rest on the promise. Now, this promise is a very solemn promise. He's talking to Moses. And he said to Moses, tomorrow, even told him when, about this very same time, this time right now, Moses, while I'm talking to you right now, you let them know, let the land of Egypt know, tell them that tomorrow, about this time, I will cause it to rain hail, grievous hail. And there'll be death. He's talking about judgment. The judgment of God falling. Now, Egypt speaks of the world. Consistently, it speaks of the world, this world we live in. A world that has no use for the Lord Jesus Christ. Still today, he's a despised and rejected one.
He is. There's lots of room for religion all over the place, but not for him. Not in the hearts of men and women. Not a place that he can enter. And we must have him enter our hearts. That's the place you've got to get to. And he said, I will come again. And that's his promise. Egypt is the world. And you've got to get out of this world. You know what the Lord Jesus said of himself? I'm not of this world. And wasn't he different? How unique was his person? They all knew that. He stood out among every single person. Because he said this, I do always those things that please the Father. And I have to get to a point in my life where I realize I have to live my life to please the Father. I must have a desire in my heart to live my life no longer for me, bringing pleasure to me and doing that which is right in my own eyes. I must understand that God says, just go in your own way in life. We start out that way. And at some point in my life, I have to understand that I'm going away from God. Every step I take, every day is taking me further and further and further away from God in my sins. And at some point, repentance is this, I stop. The psalmist said in Psalm 38, I will be sorry for my sins. I am ready to halt. May God bring you to that place this morning. Understand, friend, the solemnity of the gospel is a message of love. But soon it will not be proclaimed any longer. 2,000 years it's been since Christ ascended into heaven. It says he made a new and living way. And whosoever will may come to Christ and be saved from their sins. It's repentance toward God. I change my mind. I say, Lord, I thought I was okay. Many people say that to me. I can relate to what they're saying because I thought I was okay until I was 30 years old. I'm okay. I'm not a bad person. I don't even go to church. I go to church on Sunday. I'm not a bad person. If I swear, I tell God I'm sorry. I wouldn't hurt anybody. Surely God will accept me. This was my mindset. And God says, understand something. The heart of man is deceitful above all things. Our hearts deceive us. My heart was deceiving me. And one day a young man tells me, Wade LeBlanc, it's not okay. It's not okay, Wade. It's not. Now, I didn't like what I heard at first. I didn't like it. I said, what are you saying? You're better than me. He said, listen, we're all sinful men, sinful women. We're stained with sin. Nobody's okay. The only people in this world who can actually say, all is well with my soul, are those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, who have halted, made a 180-degree turn, and said, Lord, I've been living for me all my life in delusion. I thought I was okay. I actually thought that you would accept me if I died. I go into your arms in glory, and now I realize what you're saying to me. My sins will keep me out of heaven. He said in Revelation 21, nothing that defileth will enter heaven. And you know what? We are all as an unclean thing, every single one of us. Yes, there are some more unclean in penitentiaries today. But don't think, please don't think that you're not. We're all unclean. One sin defiles me. There's the great problem, but thank God for the solution. And that's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a promise of judgment here. Now, God tells us in the New Testament that these things are written for our learning. The Old Testament is for our learning. It's full of pictures of the future. It's full of pictures of Christ himself. This is a picture of the wrath of Almighty God coming down on this earth because the time is ended. It's all done. Today is a marvelous thing that I can stand here and tell you the door of heaven is open wide and you may enter in. Yes, you may, this morning. It takes place in the heart. No words have to be spoken. Nothing has to be signed. You don't have to make your feet go anywhere. You don't have to say anything, pray anything. He died for you. He loves you. And in my heart of hearts, I say, Lord God, I believe what you've said. I believe it. You say, all my life, I've been going my way. Well, I agree with you. You say, I'm a sinner, and my sin separates me from you. I agree with you. And you say the only way to heaven is bowing my feet, bowing at the feet of Christ, surrendering myself wholly to him, and thanking him for dying for my sins. You say he did. I believe you. He died for sinners. He died for me. This is the place God seeks to bring every single person to in the world. And it's through this message that souls are saved. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust him. He's mine. My Lord, my God, my shepherd. He's mine. I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. Christ liveth in me. Because I've opened my heart, the door of my life, and I've said, Lord Jesus, come in. And I mean it. I don't want to live the way I've been living. I want to be a new man. I want to be a new woman. Yes, I do. I want to be like him. I want to be different from all those in Egypt. Six times in this little portion, Egypt is mentioned. That's man's number. We all fall short of the number of perfection, which is seven. Completion. 7 days in the week, seven notes in music, seven colors in the rainbow, perfection. And who was the perfect one upon earth? Only one man. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And what God is saying, the very best we can do is not acceptable to God. The number six. The word field is mentioned seven times. Not by accident, but by design. Seven times is the field. The field also speaks of the world in which we live. It's a godless world. We all know that. It's a world that's ungodly. And the field speaks of the world. The very first mention of field is in Genesis. Very first mention. And what took place in that little verse? Cain slew his brother Abel. The first man that was ever born into this world was a murderer. Yes, he was. There's a lesson there for us. And it was in the field. The prodigal son comes back to the father. It's a picture of a man turning. I have sinned against God. He turns and comes back to the father. The father runs to him and embraces him. Brings him into the house. Into his house. And you notice here that's mentioned. And we'll get to that in a few moments. That's the place of safety. But he had an older brother. His older brother, we learn, the truth comes out now about the older brother. He's the man who thinks he's okay. Yes, he does. He doesn't rejoice with the father. He's got my brother. He didn't call him my brother. He said, your son. Your son. Not my brother, your son. He's been out into the world. He spent all the money. He sinned. And you just received him. And he couldn't accept that. See, that's God's grace. God's love is pictured there. And the father kindly speaks to his oldest boy and tells him. But the boy won't accept it. And the father leaves him. Where did he leave him? You read it yourself in Luke 15. He left him in the field. That's where he's left. The last thing we learn about that man, he's left in the field. And that's why it's mentioned seven times here. So for us to understand, this is a picture of what's going to come very, very soon. God is long-suffering. Isn't he long-suffering? 2,000 years. 2,000 years. And his son's name has been blasphemed. Men and women, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. No room for Jesus Christ in my life. I want to run the show in my life. And that's the world in which we live. We've got to get out. You can get out this morning. Only one place of refuge. Notice here they were brought home. They were brought home. And it's interesting, hail is mentioned 10 times. Hail. The number 10 in the Bible speaks of man's responsibility. The 10 commandments.
you are responsible. Do understand what God is saying this morning to you. You are responsible. You are to turn from your sin. God commands all men and women everywhere, Acts 17, to repent and change your mind. He gave his son to die for your sins on the cross. And so far in your life, that's meant nothing to you. Nothing. You've been paying token of favor towards the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe. That's not going to do. You've got to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned this before. Wellington was the great general. He defeated Napoleon in the Battle of Waterloo. On one occasion, there was a battle, and the British defeated the French, and three generals came forth to surrender to Wellington. And they stood before him. And one man said to Wellington, it's an honor to surrender to such a fine commander as yourself, Lord Wellington. And he looked at them sternly and said, gentlemen, I don't want your flattery. I want your swords. You lay them down at my feet. That's surrender, isn't it? That's surrender. I surrender, Lord Jesus Christ. I give up. I do not want to live for myself any longer. I want to live like you did. Follow me, he said. Follow me. And I can't follow him until I know him. The pledge of certainty. What did he say in John 14? I will come again. Well, if he says, I will come again, make no mistake about it, he's coming again. He's coming again. In 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8, it says this. He's coming for his church first, and 7 years later, the wrath of God is going to fall on this world, and that is what is portrayed here. It says, the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed. You're going to see him. If you're here and you're not saved, if you let this message this morning just win one ear and out the other ear, and you leave this place without Christ as your Savior, you may very well be here when Antichrist sets up his throne and he returns. He's going to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Listen to what it says. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is to be obeyed, and it must be obeyed. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's a command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's a command. Somebody found a piece of paper, a tract, in England a long time ago. And on the tract it said there was a £5,000 reward for anybody who could answer this question. It was Hebrews 2 and 3. Here's the question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape. There's no escape. None. None whatsoever. Nobody got the £5,000. Nobody's going to escape. Alexander the Great, he conquered the world. The then known world over in Europe and Asia. He conquered everything. King of the world. Yes, he is. He was a gracious man. Before he went in with his mighty army to defeat every city, every town, every village, to take it, he flew a white flag. A messenger went in to tell him what it meant. Alexander the Great, he has said, if you surrender right now, there'll be no bloodshed. No bloodshed. I'll leave everything as it is, but you're now mine. In the distance, afterward, they looked and saw a red flag. They were told what that meant. All right, you didn't surrender. If you surrender now, and the people will be spared, but every last one of your soldiers that fight against us will be slain. They didn't respond. A black flag was unfurled. And you know what that meant? War to the death. And that's exactly what happened. Down they went. They had their opportunity. They would not take advantage of it. Now, for 2,000 years, God has been flying the white flag of grace.
grace, unmerited favor. He's saying, come, come unto me. I'll receive you just as you are. I'll embrace you. I'll receive you into my family. I'll give you a kiss of salvation. I'll never cast you out. Now, always in the distance, there's been that red flag. Die in your sins. John 8, whither I go, you cannot come. There's the warning, you see. There's the red flag. And I will come again. There's a warning, you see. May God bless you this morning. And you know what's going to happen very soon? Is the black flag of God is going to be revealed. And there'll be no more salvation. There'll be no more gospel proclaimed. And judgment is going to fall upon this earth. Promise of judgment, a pledge of certainty, and notice the plea to escape. He's pleading with them. God said, send therefore and gather. And that's what the gospel is all about. I preach this morning as a dying man, the dying men has never sure to preach again. I would plead with you on behalf of God this morning. You're not here by accident. You are here by divine appointment, sitting where you're sitting. God knew where you were going to sit before you came in the door. This is the most solemn message you'll ever hear, friend. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I must accept it. I must accept it. Even though it doesn't settle well with me. It didn't settle well with me at first. I didn't like it at first. I'm a good man, I am. I'm a good man. I had to realize, if God says there's none good, no, not one, well, it includes me. It must include me. None righteous, no, not one. Romans 3. We are all as an unclean thing. I didn't like to see these things, but I'm so glad they were shown to me. One day I just bowed the knee, sitting in the kitchen chair. I was saved, sitting in the kitchen chair, a man in his sins. And I stood up, a man saved, born again. Chains fell off of me, and I knew I was saved. You see, God knows our heart. And if I'm stubbornly, I was sitting in that chair stubbornly saying, well, you know what, God? I think maybe you're right. But I've got lots of time. I'm only 30 years old. And lots of things in this world that I like doing. And I don't want to be ostracized from my friends and family and so on. I don't want to be different. My thinking was this. If I had a thought that way and did not trust Christ, it may have been my last opportunity. That's what I felt. And how do you know that this isn't your last opportunity to be saved? It may be. That's why there is a plea to escape. There was a man named Archias. He was like a governor over in Greece. And he was not a very nice man. Very selfish man. He cared nothing for his subjects. He loved pleasure, wine, women, and song. And there he was at his grand banquet. And there was a plot to take his life. He had a friend in Athens who had a letter sent to him by those runners, you know, and they ran and ran fast to warn this man. And finally the messenger came. And knocked on the door. The servant let him in. He said, what is your business? He said, I have an urgent message for Archias. This is a true story. He approached Archias and he said, sir, your friend begs you to read this right now. It speaks of serious things. Others heard that. It was kind of like a silence in the big banquet. And Archias looked around. You know, he thought, well, I don't want to ruin the party. Here's what he said. Serious things tomorrow. And you know what happened? That night, the plot culminated and Archias was slain. He didn't even have tomorrow. Serious things tomorrow. Friend, no. Serious things today. Right now. It's time, is it not, that you got serious with God about the matter of your sin. Now there's a place of safety. They were brought home. Where's the place of safety today? Is it in that church? Is it in that church? They're not places of safety. No such thing in the Bible. The place of safety is a man.
A man is a place of safety. Listen to Isaiah 32 and 2. Listen to what he said, prophetically talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert or a shelter from the tempest, a storm of judgment, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The only safe place is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan has provided all these religions like a smoke screen. He's very devious. He's the god of this world. His main objective, one objective, is to keep men and women in their sins. God is love. Satan is hate. And that's what's going on in this world. There's a battle going on for the souls of men and women. One place of safety is not doing your best. It's not the golden rule. It's not getting baptized in water. There's believers' baptism in the Bible, but that's not how you get saved. That's not how you get rid of your sins. It's coming to Christ. One way. All through the Scriptures. One way. He said in John 14:6, I am the way. Not a way. I am the way. I am the truth. The truth. And I'm the life. And no man, no woman cometh unto the Father but by me. Is that plain or is that plain? John 10:9, he stood, this man from Nazareth, a poor man, sandals on his feet, clothes on his back, that's all he owned. Yet he stood and spoke, and when he spoke, they listened. Because he spoke with authority, and they knew this is no ordinary man. And he stood and said this, I am the door. I am the door. And by me, if any man, woman, enter in, he shall be saved. Not might be saved. Shall be saved. Very clear. One place of safety. He was on the Mount of Gethsemane in the garden looking down at Jerusalem. He knew they were going to reject him. He knew that. He knew they were going to say to Pilate, away with him, crucify him. And he loved them. And he wept. Can you imagine God weeping? That's how much he loves you. He loves you more than tongue can tell. He's weeping. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft will I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her chicks? And ye would not. See, not could not. Would not. Prairie fire, there's a prairie fire, and a man came out to inspect the damage, you know. He saw one of his beloved hens, charred mass, that's all it was, a body blackened. He felt sad. He kicked the thing over with his foot, and you know what was underneath? 10 chicks. Well, and alive. They came out peeping and alive. What did she do? She called her chicks to her because there was a fire coming. And she brought them under her wings. That's what Lord Jesus, the picture he's giving us. And she protected them. And she took the fire herself and died that they might live. That's what he's done for you. Well, now, would you come? Would you come? He's calling you this morning. Place of safety. And notice the passion of urgency. Now. Now, it wasn't walk, was it? It wasn't walk. Flee. Flee. As fast as you can. Get out of the field. Get in the house. One place of safety. One place only. And don't waste any time about it. Now. It's a passion of urgency about this. You see? Because God says this in Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. God says, Isaiah 1:18, come now. If God speaks to your heart this morning and you understand plainly and clearly your position, then this is the time God expects you to come right now. Not tomorrow. The devil will tell you, go home and think about it. The devil doesn't say there's no heaven. He doesn't say there's no hell. He says there's no hurry. That's how he keeps men and women in their sins. No hurry. What's the hurry? You'll be alive tomorrow. Well, you tell me. How do you know you'll be alive tomorrow? I'll tell you something about me. I'm leaving for home this afternoon. I'm looking forward to it. But you know something? I have no guarantee of getting home. I may die on the way home. I might. I don't boast myself of tomorrow. It's always God willing. God willing, I'll be home tomorrow, I told my wife. If God wills, I'll see you tomorrow. God says, don't boast thyself of tomorrow. You see how solemn it is. That's what's going on in the world. It's a battle for your soul, your precious soul. Christ died for you. And that's why there is urgency in the gospel. I got this in the mail one time years ago. I thought it was a gospel tract. It was a slippery road. And it says this, no one knows what lies ahead. The greatest mistake we can do is to presume that we do. It wasn't a gospel tract. It's from an insurance company. But they're right on the money, aren't they? They are. That's a true statement. That's the worst mistake a man can make. Presuming I'll be alive tomorrow. I wonder how many people died yesterday and today that have no idea. This is my last day on earth. This is it. And it's very solemn. I hope you don't think that somehow you're going to get into heaven. My friend, listen. If you're not saved, if you don't know Christ, you're not going to heaven. Understand that. There's no possible way you're going to God's heaven. None. Because you're sitting in your sins. You don't know Christ as your Savior. You've never fled to Christ for refuge. May God dispel all these thoughts from your mind. There's no possible way. You think you're good? No, God says none good. No, not one. You look to Calvary, my son. I gave my son for you. I laid all your sins, my sins, on my son for you, that you might be with me in glory. And there's only one way, and you must come and bow the knee to my son. And it's with urgency. It's proclaimed. The gospel is always with urgency. Who were the protected people? This is so very clear. Who were the protected people here? He that feared the word of the Lord. He that feared the word of the Lord. They take the warnings of God seriously. They understand this God with whom I have to do is a very serious God. And rightfully so. He has a claim on our lives, does he not? Your sins, my sins, were laid on his son. And the wrath of God fell on his son. He has a claim on us. You see how solemn it is? Men and women don't understand. I didn't understand. You don't get saved. If you never come to Christ, you'll not be in heaven. You'll stand before him. As you see me here, you'll see him. Called the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation 20. And you know something? You won't say a word. You will not say one word. No discussion. No discussion. No lawyer on your behalf pleading for you. No. He'll show you his hands. The wounds in his hands. And you'll know. Then you'll know. It was for me. It was for me. And I heard it, and I knew it, and I stubbornly went on in my life. Trying to understand it, maybe. Friend, don't try and understand what you're hearing this morning. Don't try and understand it. It's beyond human understanding. As a child, I must accept what God says without understanding. And I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I accept him personally as my Savior. And a miracle takes place. A miracle. And it is. People say, well, God's not doing any miracles today. He's doing miracles every day. It's the miracle of salvation. Angels rejoice. Luke 15. Imagine that. In the heavens above, angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. And says, Lord God, finally, I understand. I'm ready now. I'm ready to be saved. A protected people and a perishing people. he that regarded not the word of the Lord. They didn't take God seriously. They didn't take, please take me seriously this morning. Your soul is at stake. You know that? Your soul is at stake. Take me seriously. I'm speaking on behalf of God. That's all I'm doing. I'm his messenger. That's all that I am. I speak the gospel. I preach the same gospel Paul and Silas preached, that Peter preached, that John preached. It hasn't changed and it will not change. Don't let your heart deceive you. Don't let Satan deceive you. Believe God. The perishing people were simply those who did not fear the word of the Lord. And they regarded not the word of the Lord. They stayed in the field. And what happened to them? Well, they perished, didn't they? God said they did. They all perished. Every single one of them. And nobody's going to escape. No one's going to escape the God of judgment. Right now, he's the God of love, the God of mercy, calling sinners to himself. But one day, that door is going to close. Just as sure as you're sitting in your seat this morning, understand, one day, the last soul will be saved, somewhere in the world, and heaven's door is going to solemnly shut, and there'll be no salvation, none. None for you. He said in Jude chapter 7, we know Sodom and Gomorrah, the sinful conditions of those cities. And we know what happened, don't we? God judged them. Fire came down from heaven and judged them, and they all perished. And the things, again, in the Old Testament are written for our learning today, that we understand. Now, Jude says this, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. We know what that is, don't we? Only the marriage bed is sanctified. That's it. No other bed sanctified. God said that sin is grievous sin in my eyes. Giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh. What is that? What is that? We know what it is, don't we? Man with man, woman with woman. That's what was going on. It's always okay. Romans says, men with men working that which is unseemly in God's sight. The word means moral depravity. That's what it means. Moral deformity is what it means. That's how God looks upon these sins that are all around us and being accepted. Now listen, these words are written for us. God says, understand. That's why I judged those cities. Time was up. And he said this, they're set forth as an example for us, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now listen to this, the word suffering is present continuous tense. You know how long ago that was? How many thousands of years ago that was? And ever since then, they've been suffering, and they are right now, the vengeance of eternal fire. They wouldn't repent. They would not take God seriously. They would not. God, friend, take God seriously this morning. Do take him seriously. You've got to get saved, you know. You've got to wake up. We trust God has spoken to your heart this morning. This is a message of love. God loves you. He loves you. He died for you. He's longing for you to come to him. The problem lies with us. You know, we're so stubborn, aren't we? We're stubborn. Don't be stubborn this morning. Don't be stubborn. Bow the knee. Bow the knee. Believe God. He that believeth on the Son, not in himself, not in their church going, not in their goodness. I understand the only way to heaven is the work of that mighty man called Jesus Christ. He died for me. I rest in his work. And I rest on the promise of God. Him that cometh to me, he said, John 6:37, I will never, never cast out. Isn't that lovely? Well, I'm in his family. I'm his family permanently. That's why Christians are a happy people. No matter what happens in my life, I know when I'm absent from my body, instantly I'll be present with the Lord. How do I know that for sure? Because the Bible tells me so. May God bless you. Thank you for coming. We'll pray. Father in heaven, in that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near to thee and thank thee that the doors open still. Father, we acknowledge again salvation is of the Lord. Father, may thy Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, may open eyes of understanding, Father, open hearts. If there's anyone here this morning that is not thine, O God, we pray for them, that they would make this the day of days for them, Father, and say, yes, Lord Jesus Christ, I come. Just as I am, I come. God bless, we pray, in his name and for his honor and glory, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for listening.